Thank you for being with us, Dr. David Hoag. Welcome back to Asbury.
Well, thank you. I'm just so glad to be here. I just feel like I'm going down memory lane.
Right. You're an alum.
I am an alum.
So tell us, first of all, who you are and a little bit about your Asbury journey and how you got to where you are now.
Sure. Well, my name's David Hoag. I went here back in the 80s and graduated, went on the University of Kentucky. I thought I was going to be like an athletic director or even stay at UK because I was working in the athletic department, mm-hmm. and it was just an incredible experience. Mm-hmm. But my mentor got hold of me the next summer and said, will you come back and join me at Asbury in admissions?
Okay.
And, you know, we put it off for a while, mm-hmm. but then we started praying about it. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord really kind of convicted us. And next thing you know it, I was the admissions counselor. And yes, the one. I don't know how many you have now.
There's
but
a couple.
I'm sure you got a few. And worked in that for a while. And then I started working in development.
Okay.
We did the Second Century campaign, which the big part of that campaign was the Luce Center.
Okay.
And just had an incredible experience.
Yeah.
And then I've continued on the rest of my career serving in Christian higher ed at Greenville University in Southern Illinois.
Yeah.
Then on to Trinity up in Chicago. And then most recently, I served as president of Warner University down in Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, I've taken this post as the president for the Christian colleges and universities.
Yeah,
and we've got about 150 schools right here in the U.S.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you're in Washington, D.C. now. So are there things about Asbury that you think, wow, now that I've been away from that, I really do miss?
Oh, my goodness. There's so many things that I miss.
Yeah.
This is just such a special place. Mm-hmm. And the people that invested in us really just have really helped prepare us for how we're serving the Lord right now.
Yeah, that's what people say. And, you know, when you talk to most graduates, they usually will point back to a person that was really memorable, really just, you know, formative for them. But do you have any memories or people for you that were formative?
I have.
And they could be funny.
The list could go on and on. I mean, like, people probably wonder who Dennis Kinlaw was.
Right.
Well, when I was in admissions and development, I was like his driver.
Okay.
And I would take him to different alumni events. And, you know, so Dr. Kinlaw was somebody.
Was he president at the time?
He was president for his second stint when I was an employee here.
Okay.
Great person. But the faculty, and then some of my coaches, I was an athlete.
Okay. What'd you play?
So I was a track cross-country guy.
Okay.
And,
great.
You know, I hate to say this, but I was notified last year that my steeplechase record, which was 40 years...
who broke it?
But some student, but I don't know. But I sent him a nice congratulatory email.
I hope
email.
So. Well, have you seen the new track?
I'm envious. Listen,
right.
I ran on that dirt that was around the old
soccer
field.
You should get out there
field.
And run a lap while you're here.
I might have to do that.
Just an honorary mile.
Yeah.
So there are some other new buildings since you've been here. So talk about what it's like coming back and just seeing how campus has changed in your time away.
I can't get over how things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the buildings that I remember are gone to really make way for the new building because, you know, Doddridge Holland used to be our gymnasium and it's gone. Fletcher Early was right next to it, and that's where the CLC is at.
Yeah.
I left right after we completed the Luce Center and came back for the Dennis Kinlaw Library dedication.
Yeah.
But wow, God's at work here, and it's just really neat to see everything that's happening.
Yeah. So you worked in advancement
and
so you helped fundraise for the Luce Center, is that correct?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Are there any other things that students can thank you for contributing to?
Well, we did a lot on scholarships during that same time. So Luce Center was probably the biggest building.
Mm-hmm.
The clinic we built, is the clinic still around?
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that was one of the small projects.
Yeah.
And then we did a lot of the seed work for the library.
That's great. So now looking back on all those things that you talked about, and as an alum and now as president of the CCCU, what are the things that you hope Asbury and other schools never lose? Because there's a lot of pressure now to be something else for these schools.
Well, to me, the being a Christ-centered place, the whole academic excellence and spiritual vitality.
Yeah.
But I love the biblical worldview
that
Asbury has. And so think about this. All these things that are happening around the world or in our country, what better place to have hard conversations than a place like Asbury where you can have great hard conversations with faculty mm-hmm. or staff or other classmates. Yeah. But yet you look at it from a biblical perspective.
Right. Well, and a lot of people say, you know, if they've been at a place like Asbury versus a bigger school, maybe a public mm-hmm. school, they'll share that, you know, the freedom of thought and the freedom mm-hmm. of expression and speech is actually better here than it is mm-hmm. at some of the other places, which oftentimes most people would think the reverse would be true. So I think that's great. So now that you've been in multiple other roles, what do you think these institutions do the best in educating students around the country?
What I like to say is we're in the transformation business. Mm-hmm. So when students go to college, it's not just a transaction and you get a diploma when you're done. You actually are transformed because we look at kind of the whole person, mm-hmm. spiritually, mentally, mm-hmm. emotionally, and even physically. And with that balance, it just makes a huge difference in a student's experience.
Yeah. Well, and then a little more fun note, there are a lot of unique schools within the CCCU. Tell us something that we might not know about some of these schools.
Wow, very unique. You know, I think since I started in September, I've been to about 20 different campuses. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that has just blown me away mm-hmm. has been this academic excellence mm-hmm. and the rigor.
Yeah.
These aren't Bible schools.
Right.
You know, we have Research 1 and Research mm-hmm. 2 universities yeah. that have really strong scholarship. But then I've been at places where they have a nuclear reactor
wow.
that they're putting in. and places that are literally developing rocket science.
Wow, that's
and,
great.
Or whether you go to the middle part of our country and you go to Dort and they have mm-hmm. ag technology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's just amazing to see dynamic yeah. majors mm-hmm. that our schools are doing. And again, the difference is these faculty are right alongside of them. They're getting incredible
yeah.
attention
yeah.
as they study.
I went to a CCCU school, and my favorite thing was that I got to do scuba diving for my PE requirements.
How about that?
And then we did a science writing class, like a science journalism, and our professor thought it would be a great idea to take us to the Everglades. And we were from New York, New Jersey, Ohio, so we were all like these northern kids, and we were convinced we were going to get eaten by an alligator.
Yeah.
We did, in fact, see alligators on this trip, and I just remember thinking, how were they allowed to do this?
You know, it's funny you mention alligators, because when I was at Warner, we had to educate all the non-Florida students.
That was like us.
Yeah,
we were all, none of us were from there.
You don't feed the alligator, because that would not be a good thing.
And they're fast.
And so
They're fast.
And if we had time, I'd do my crocodile hunter imitation, but I'm not going to do that today. But as president, one of the things I would do is when we'd have an alligator on campus,
mm-hmm.
I would take, believe it or not, mm-hmm. one step towards the alligator.
No.
Because here's what you want to see happen. You want them to be afraid and back away.
Right.
If they don't back away,
that's a problem.
You run fast. You just have to be faster than the person next to you, and you
yeah.
call animal control.
Right.
And they're going to need to get relocated.
Exactly. Yes. Well, that's the fun thing about going to college in Florida. So you also picked up a boating habit, I guess, when you were in Florida. Is that right? So
yes.
Tell us about that.
So. Well, the reason I went with boating is, mm-hmm. you know, Jesus did his best work on water. You know,
he did.
Think about it. I mean, he was on the boat when he would speak to the people. He
yes.
had an incredible haul when he went fishing,
yeah.
calmed the storm,
right.
water to wine. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Right, exactly.
So as a president, my wife and I just wanted to have some way to mm-hmm. kind of get away.
Yeah.
And so we didn't go on the side. We did do some on the Atlantic on a boat,
mm-hmm.
but we went more to the southwest part
okay.
because my
down
wife loves shells
yeah.
and shelling. And
yeah.
so I attempted to fish, and mm-hmm. fish do not fear me, but we enjoyed our time on the water. So.
Yeah.
I've had to give that up in Florida now, and I'm learning how to do it on the Potomac.
There you
so
go.
So maybe for a future episode, we'll be able to tell you
there
more
you go.
About that.
Or we'll just shoot it live from the Potomac.
Come on over. Come on over.
Well, and then speaking of D.C., you know, there's been a lot of things happening lately. Are there some unique challenges facing CCCU schools, you know, in light of maybe recent policy or any other changes that you guys are working through? Because mm-hmm. I know advocacy is a huge part of what you guys do. So can you talk about that side a little bit?
Sure. Well, first, we're nonpartisan,
mm-hmm.
so it doesn't matter if there's a Republican president
yeah.
or a Democrat president. And so what we try to do is work with whoever's in charge at the time. Mm-hmm. And so right now, our religious liberty for our schools, so that our schools can hire people that believe what our schools believe, mm-hmm. that's not in jeopardy at all mm-hmm. right now. But right now, higher ed in general has kind of gotten a bad rap with some of the things you've seen in the media, mm-hmm. you know, about high cost, a lot of mm-hmm. student loans and all that loan forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And so we are a little concerned about some reform that could take place on student loans and work study. And so that's something that my team's watching on a regular basis. Yeah. And President Trump, he's pretty, he said things on the campaign trail mm-hmm. and things are happening.
Right.
Not at the speed that we thought they would happen, but it's happening pretty fast. And so we have to always get our presidents mobilized so they can start working with their mm-hmm. senators in their state mm-hmm. or their congressmen.
Well, and not only that, so you have this huge demographic cliff, and obviously not unique to Christian schools. Talk about that a little bit and what that's going to look like and how these schools can sort of brace for that.
Sure. Geography is really going to make a difference mm-hmm. in higher education right now. So in the next 15 years, there's going to be a huge shift. Like right here in Kentucky, in 15 years, we're going to lose 9% of the high school graduates. Mm. And so one of the things that I try to encourage our member schools is to look at the states where that number's going up.
Right.
So believe it or not, Florida, where you went to school, mm-hmm. it's going up 14.7%.
Mm. A lot of southern states are seeing
a lot
that,
of
though.
Southern people like the weather, I think. But yeah, so that's going to be a big factor. So I think some of the recruitment strategies are going to need to really take a look at that.
Yeah.
But the one piece that I think people are missing on the whole cliff mm-hmm. is the Caucasian population is going down 26%.
26%.
That's a big number.
That is a big number.
And so we need to be really looking at how our schools can be more diverse and look like mm-hmm. God's kingdom, because the multi-ethnic population mm-hmm. is going to grow. It's going to grow while the Caucasian population is going to go down.
Right. So are there any specific policy changes or court cases or anything like that that you are keeping an eye on specifically?
Sure. Well, we just came off a major victory mm-hmm. on the Hunter versus Department mm-hmm. of Education, mm-hmm. and it was in the Ninth Circuit. And that's up in the northwest of the United mm-hmm. States and mm-hmm. very liberal area. And it was a group of 26 students that sued the Department of Education, mm-hmm. and they were in the LGBTQ movement, mm-hmm. and they said that Christian schools shouldn't get funding because we discriminate. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. you know, basically we have students come to our school, and we communicate what our human sexuality policy is, mm-hmm. and we prevailed both in the appeal after it was appealed originally. But here's the interesting thing that they found on that. Mm. Our schools treat students that have different views on human sexuality much better than public universities.
Is this polling, or how did they find this?
We actually went through, the CCCU intervened, which means we were a part of the process, we were part of the depositions and the court records, because what you want to do is prepare for cases that may go to the Supreme Court someday. So that's a case that we just prevailed on. The other one that's kind of brewing right now is a case with Liberty University in the Fourth Circuit. And here's an interesting fact. All of our faculty at governing schools, they're believers. Mm-hmm. So they have a relationship with Jesus. And that's very unique about the CCCU. Yeah. But what's happening at Liberty is you had a faculty member that they had hired. Their view on human sexuality changed. Mm. Liberty let them go. And so that former employee is suing them.
Right.
And so we're watching that to see mm-hmm. how that religious liberty interaction takes place.
Yeah. And do you find that these impact the other schools? I mean, I'm assuming they're keeping an eye on them.
Well, what happens is it becomes record.
Right.
And then as records from different cases build, that really affects things. So on the advocacy front, we have to watch what's happening on the judicial side, mm-hmm. so like those cases. Mm-hmm. The executive branch, so that's like what the president's doing right now with executive orders. And then what does the legislature do right. when they vote on different things? So it's yeah. it's pretty complex.
So you got your hands full.
I got my – there is never a dull moment in D.C. right now.
I bet. I bet. It's a busy place. So – and shifting gears just a little bit, another challenge that we're seeing, you know, demographics, policy, new administration, but also just this age of AI and technology mm-hmm. and all these implications, whether that's, you know, academic integrity or mental health or
right.
all of the above. Can you just talk about that a little bit? Just unpack that with us and
well,
what you're seeing.
Mental health is one of the biggest mm-hmm. challenges mm-hmm. that today's students mm-hmm. are dealing with. So whenever we have different conferences, we try to equip faculty and staff with resources mm-hmm. there. The other thing you're seeing on campuses is telehealth, mm-hmm. Because guess what? In addition to having your own counseling team here, mm-hmm. sometimes people have a crisis, mm-hmm. you know, after 9 to 5.
Right.
And so many of our schools have those types of yeah. resources available. Mm-hmm. AI is going to continue to grow. It's going to get bigger and bigger. I don't know if I compare it to when the first email was sent
right.
or when the internet was invented. Yeah. But it keeps getting more powerful.
Yeah.
And an article just came out in Christian Scholars Review, and it said more than ever, Christian institutions are needed because we help teach discernment mm-hmm. and critical thinking.
Right.
And while you can ask AI a question mm-hmm. and it may give you something, it doesn't really help you on discernment
right.
or judgment.
But will it be able to?
I don't know, but it's going to be interesting to yeah. see what happens yeah. there. And I'm seeing some really neat research out there mm-hmm. that's taking place. There's this mm-hmm. one ministry AI. Imagine this. Put all your theology in a large language model.
Mm.
And if you want to do a devotional,
right.
you put in, I want to do a devotional on... and you fill in the blank.
Okay.
And it could give you an outline. Now,
that's
it's great. Not going to be perfect,
yeah.
but it's going to at least put yeah. you and give you a good start.
Right. But there's still the human touch.
Absolutely.
And so much of what we hear right. from students is, you know, this is great. I like all this, but I don't necessarily want to be more productive. Mm-hmm. I don't want a tool that makes me more productive. Mm-hmm. I just want someone to talk to. So
absolutely.
how do you, you know, empower your member schools to really dig into those student relationships in this age of technology?
It's all about the numbers. Mm-hmm. And when you look at our schools, you'll see the faculty-staff ratios
mm-hmm.
very yeah. low. Yeah. And so that's going to be that one-on-one yeah. attention that you're going to see. I think I just yeah. saw an Asbury ad. It was 12-1
yep.
student-faculty ratio.
Where'd
and
you
so
see that ad?
I saw it on Facebook.
Yes.
Did you buy that ad?
Well, probably.
Probably.
So we found you.
Well, you
Go
found
team.
Me. Go team. But, you know, it's pretty powerful because when you look at that, you think of discernment.
Yep.
Remember I told you that's
mm-hmm.
what's important, those things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's that interaction that you have with the faculty
yeah,
and staff that are going to make that happen.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. So I think the other challenge naturally facing parents right now is things like cost, things like why liberal arts, why Christian higher education. So if you were talking to a parent of a prospective student right now in any of these colleges, what would you mm-hmm. tell them? Go back to your admissions days.
Go back to my admissions days.
Sell me on Asbury.
Well, I'm going to go back to a Dennis Kinlaw. What Dennis Kinlaw would say when he would talk to parents,
mm-hmm.
he would say, this is one of the most important decisions
mm-hmm.
you're going to make in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to figure out what you're going to study.
Yeah.
You may meet your future spouse.
As you did.
As I did.
Yep.
You may find this network of people that you're going to be connecting with for the rest of your life. And all your values are going to be grounded during that experience. And so, you know, when families invest in their kids, whether they're sending them to a private school,
mm-hmm.
public school, you know, they invest in them going to church and those things. You just want that to continue on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it's expensive.
Yeah.
But yet, I always encourage families, take a look at really what the cost is. You know, fill out that FAFSA.
Right.
Look at what that school can do mm-hmm. for you on a scholarship perspective. You know, my parents, they never made more than $30,000 a year. And we were farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom would take the leftovers or the seconds
mm-hmm.
to flea market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got me through Asbury
yeah.
debt-free, because we didn't have new cars when we were in school. Yeah. And so it's a big sacrifice, but to me, it's one of the most important decisions they can make. Definitely. But they need to visit campuses, see if they fit with the place. Mm-hmm. I always say stay overnight so you get the full experience. Yeah. And it's just one of the most important decisions you make.
What was your major here at Asbury?
I was a physical education
major. Okay, so you
thank
really
God
were
for
that
liberal
track.
Arts.
That's right. And you wanted to get a master's at UK.
I wanted to get a master's UK sports administration.
Okay.
And I thought that was the route I was going to go, but the Lord had some other ideas.
Yeah. Well, I love that. Just in closing, speaking now directly to students, just some encouragement about, you know, how your life trajectory went. And oftentimes we hear, like, I just don't know what I want to do. I just don't know where I want to be. Just give them a word before we go.
So here's the word. Don't think when you go to school, you have to have figured out what your major is or what you're going to do. Because your major is going to change multiple times.
Yep.
Because of these networks and people and the advice you get, your life's going to go a total different direction. Mm-hmm. And so when you come to school, that's when you kind of surrender to the Lord, ask His for wisdom and guidance to discern the future.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much for your time, Dr.
Well,
Ho.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.
So great to be back.
Yes, thanks.